Welcome to Augmented Humanity. Our guests are modern explorers working at the intersection of technology and the humanities. They help us to understand ourselves and the worlds we create in this digital age. They are thinkers, creators, makers, and academics working in diverse fields like civics, the law, anthropology, and archaeology. I'm your host, Craig Goldsmith.
I'm your host, Ellen Dornan.
On this program, we're joined by artist and educator Agnes Chavez, who explores the interrelationship between art, science, technology, and nature as a process and tool for social change. As an artist, her work focuses on data visualization, light, sound, and space. As a curriculum developer, she applies the latest arts, science, and technological innovations to youth programming and education. Agnes is a founding member of the Paseo Festival and the founder of the STEM Arts Lab. The lab's STEM Arts Curriculum Tool is an online platform that complements real-world science and art festivals with STEAM activities and resources. She is also the developer of the Subay Multisensory Language Curriculum for teaching Spanish and English to kids through art, music, and games.
Thanks for talking with us about all your work today, Agnes. I wanted to unpack some of the educational work that you're doing and talk a little bit about who you're working with and what it looks like. You've been working in Taos for decades. Taos, like a lot of places in New Mexico, has some sort of specific challenges when you're trying to roll out something high-tech and something very science-y. There's demographic considerations. There's considerations of access to technology. There's considerations of just not having great technology infrastructure. No offense, Taos. So how do you overcome cultural differences as well as problems with the digital divide and problems with equity and access?
I think living in Taos in a rural community really made me sensitive to these challenges that exist in the world, right? The underserved areas of the world. Think about it. Taos is far from like Santa Fe, far from Albuquerque. It's hard to get access to many things from here. I work with all the schools and, you know, we have students from the Pueblo, we have the Hispanic community, we have different languages being spoken. So I really developed my curriculum in this very unique environment. And then I'm Cuban American. So I also grew up bilingual. I grew up having to recuperate my language skills, Spanish language skills. So I have a lot of real experience about that, about living in two worlds, which a lot of people here have that experience. There were a lot of conditions of what's called the digital divide here in Taos, just screaming at you. I think I always developed curriculum to an audience that didn't automatically have everything. And that really influenced how I developed curriculum. So starting with the Subay, which was a program to teach Spanish to kids, it started because I saw how many kids didn't know Spanish. They couldn't even speak to their grandparents, right? Then as I got into STEM arts, when you went to art galleries around here, there was no cutting edge science and technology and art here. It was more traditional arts. So I always kind of look for ways to bring access to these things that are out there that I think can be beneficial, that are exciting, that can help us connect to each other, that have the components of my mission, right? My mission is to create art and education programs that help us to feel connected to each other, that help us to understand nature and the world around us, that help us to see how we're interdependent, how everything we do has an effect on everything else. So that kind of being here and developing curriculum was what was a big influence on me developing the work that helps to address that. And then in general, the time that we're living in right now, the whole social media movement and the whole way that you can actually create content is exciting because now anybody can tell their story. And so teaching them to use these tools in an ethical way or in a way that's actually helping to create good in the world is kind of what I'm focusing on. And it's not just me. It's happening all over that there's a shift now. So what's called the digital divide, when they came up with that term, it was all about people just getting access to internet and computer. But now that divide is decreasing. And now everybody's talking about the knowledge gap and the production gap. So the knowledge gap is, okay, now you have access. What are you going to do? Just watch Netflix? You know, what are you going to do with it? How are you going to use the technology? Or do you know how to search? Do you know how to find things for what you want? You know, that whole thing of what you're going to do with it is the focus now, where they're seeing serious gaps all over the world. And then the production gap is moving from just being passive consumers of technology to actual producers of content. It turns out that there's only a small percentage of the population are actually producers of content. And that's why we're not getting diversity of voices, indigenous voices, Hispanic voices. But this is changing. And this is where we as educators need to be focusing. So that's part of the exploration and the experimentation.
I think there's something really crucial there. You said in the earlier segment how just posting a picture and your little caption is not producing content. Why not, though? I was wondering if you could sort of express that in a way that's really meaningful.
Yeah, it's interesting because I saw that recently when I was getting ready to do a panel on digital divide. I hadn't looked up the term in a long time to see how it's evolved in Wikipedia. I was fascinated to see how far it's come and how they've done studies already on how the technology is impacting and what's happening and what's not happening. What I read in terms of the studies is that there's a lot of that going on, not to say that, and I get your point, not to say that that doesn't have a purpose, but what they were saying is there's not a lot of people producing content from diverse cultural backgrounds, from diverse socioeconomic backgrounds and so forth. So there is a gap in people from diverse backgrounds participating in what becomes the knowledge base. I'm a Facebooker and, you know, posting and everything has its purpose, but it's not the same as really producing content for the world, you know, or using it in ways that are helping to better the world in some way. So that's the area that I focus on. How can we work with kids to see what they can do with it beyond just posting? It comes back to the art. That's really the art and the technology. Art also has gotten kind of pigeonholed, right? Forever. Art is over here, science is over here. But what's happening now with the STEAM movement? And what's happening now with this shift towards interdisciplinary transdisciplinaryism is the understanding that we all need to use all of these disciplines to communicate, to understand, to express ourselves. And so when you bring art making, creativity into whatever it is that you're doing, you're going to have another kind of impact. It's art making.
I'm a little bit curious about this sort of shift that you're describing in Taos, but more largely from sort of traditional arts where, like, I might go into a gallery in Taos and look at all the beautiful pictures and the beautiful sculptures and the beautiful weavings and be like, oh, that's so beautiful. And then I walk out and my life is unchanged. But I know during the IZEA exhibition, I remember being in the Albuquerque Museum in this forest of light trees, sending text messages so that I was becoming part of the art. And I was becoming one of the many who had also contributed to this art. Watching the words of all these people that somehow I was connected to, who had been standing in the same room where I was standing and wanted to become a part of the same thing that I wanted to become part of, it's a very different experience. How do you teach that?
Well, I think exposure to it, what you experienced, that feeling that you just described, when kids experience it through the festival or through the art workshops, that's the first step. Now they see what's possible. That was one of the quotes from one of the kids that took the surveys, like, now I see what's possible. That's the first step. They say the first step to change is awareness, right? Exposing them to this. So then through these workshops, they're learning skills. It's really about empowerment. Little by little, they're empowered to say, I can do this. I can do this too. And then they eventually will develop and get the skills themselves. I had that same response when I saw my first participatory projection art piece. And I said, this is something. This can really have impact. It wasn't until I discovered projection art and participatory art that I said, that's what I've been looking for.
What was the first piece that you saw that turned you on?
I remember the day. I was sitting on my kitchen table and my husband was there and my son was there. I just came across these projection mapping pieces that are on buildings for the first time. It was 2010. And at that time, it wasn't in the hands of all the artists. It was only in the hands of, like, the big production companies that had the money, because the projectors used to cost $10,000. And now they're like $300, $400, $500, $600, right? So back then I watched these big hands on a building and it just crumbled, you know, all those projection mapping that we've gotten so used to now, right? And I was like, I want to do that. That's what I want to do. I remember thinking, I don't know how. And I went on my journey. See, that's the first step. And then if you really want it, you find a way. And now it's easier and easier. And it's going to get even easier to create multimedia, participatory, and interactive virtual reality, mixed reality art. Before, you had to have a lot of coding and a lot of programming. And now less and less.
Yeah, now it's much more drag and drop. Is there an example project where you were working with either a class or a group of students where it was like the first time you just felt like they got it and produced something that really just surprised the hell out of you, where you just weren't expecting them to come up with?
Yes, yes, yes. You know, I think it's been working with Marcus Dorninger and the Projecting Particles workshop. That's the one I've been doing long now with Stephen Goldfarb, I mentioned at CERN. Marcus Dorninger is an Austrian projection artist, and he developed a tool called TagTool. And TagTool is a free app that allows you to paint with your fingers. And it's really easy to learn.
So it's like gesture recognition. Is that what it does?
Yes. It's finger painting. Seriously. You control the menu on your left, and on the right, you paint with your fingers. And you can do all kinds of things with it. And I brought him into the Projecting Particles project because the goal, remember, was to teach particle physics through projection art. So I figured particle physics is complex enough to learn, but if I have to like do coding as well, the workshop will be like 6 weeks. So I had to find something, some technology. And I found Marcus when I was in Germany. And so we have been working together ever since. And we do these workshops where Steve is beamed in and he talks to them about physics. And I'll follow up with that through activities. Then Marcus comes in and he teaches them about TagTool. And then I follow up on that. And in the end, we do a projection piece onto a building. We did one for the Paseo. We did one in Santa Fe recently. We did it in Havana. Havana was pretty cool, too. Seeing these kids that had never even touched an iPad. And then there they were on the streets, the girls, I remember them. They were painting onto the building. And so those moments where you see them doing something that they had never done before. And then here in Taos, there was a moment where they created these complex body cosmos images that we had developed like a system for them to take these painted images and put them inside of body traces. And we did a presentation in the cafeteria at the school, and I didn't even take a video of it. We were so like last minute, and it was the best ever. And I thought, oh, I could just see them. And they were all managing everything. They were painting. They were doing live painting performance. And we transformed the cafeteria into like a multimedia installation like you see at a festival. And I thought, this is something, because this says what you can do in a cafeteria at a school. And parents came and they were just blown away. There was all this music created through GarageBand. I brought a GarageBand artist to teach them how to create this interesting sound effects, and it kind of filled the room. Some of the kids thought it was eerie because it was experimental sound. And, you know, exposing them to experimental sound on loop. And the walls were filled with these body trace images, and Feynman quotes were being projected. And it really showed what was possible.
That's just fantastic. It gives me a little bit of hope for the world, if you want to know the truth.
You know what? That's the only way I keep my sanity, is working with kids. Seriously. My purpose is to work with youth. If I have to work with adults, like people have asked me, do you want to do this with university level? And I'm like, no,
no,
no. I want fourth graders, fifth graders. The less corrupt they are in their brain, the more I have hope.
Thank you so much for talking with us today.
Oh, you know what? Really, I have to tell you, you guys are so easy to talk to.
If you would like more information about Agnes and her work, you can visit stemarts.com online or agneschavez.com. Augmented Humanity is a program of the New Mexico Humanities Council, produced in partnership with KUNM-FM. You can visit us online and find out more about our programs at nmhumanities.org. Our theme music comes courtesy James Whiten, and we've had production assistance from Tristan Klum.